Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
2 hours down, one to go. Tonight, the 4th of July, Independence Day, 2009. Thank you for tuning in to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and here I come to you once again from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. We're going out this Independence Day night to our affiliate stations, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're going out via satellite. We're going out over the Internet. People tuned in from around the world tonight on this very joyous occasion, and we thank you that you are one of them. And we've had a good show so far tonight. We've had Keith Alexander on during the first hour. Keith and I retraced our steps last week from Jackson, Mississippi, where we did the exhilarating remote broadcast from the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference. That show, of course, as with all of our shows dating back to 2005, are available to you on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith and I also discussed the time we spent with the newspaper reporter that flew into Memphis to talk to us on Tuesday. We talked about the big congressional race coming up between Memphis Mayor Willie Harrington and Steve Cohen. That was all during the first hour. During the second hour, we had even more fun and got even more information sent out via the airwaves from Reverend Ted Pike, who was talking about the latest manifestation of the federal hate crimes legislation, to Jamie Kelso, who was giving us positive and encouraging, uplifting news from the Tea Parties and all of the hundreds of thousands of folks who have attended them over the course of the past year. They are protesting issues that really would put them squarely in our corner. And it's good to know that there are so many right-thinking people left in America. You wouldn't know it if you listened only to the mainstream so-called establishment press, but you would sure know it if you listened to the Political Cesspool, because we hear from these folks every single day. Well, it is the 4th of July. Bill Rowland and Winston Smith are taking time off to be with their families, but two people who are not, at least during this hour, myself, and of course, the fourth and final Political Cesspool co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And it's been a while since he's been with us, but here he is now on the 4th of July for the third hour. Eddie, how you doing, Pappy?
Well, you know what, son boy? I am with my family right now.
Well, you know, and it is a family, and I see you as a spirit father, if not biological. And, you know, my family, Ed, unfortunately, and I don't say this in jest, it's quite dwindling. I just had a very dear uncle pass away a couple of days ago, and one of the things in this life that gives me comfort and solace is the political activism that we partake in, and certainly my political family and the family here and on the radio program. And none more dear to me than you, Ed. And here we are again, my friend.
Well, that goes double for me. And a lot of people might not know, but James just lost a dear family member recently, yesterday, I believe it was, to cancer, which strikes, I guess, every family in the United States. They say, you know, they's always right. We'll have at least one family member stricken with that disease. And I guess, James, the only thing we can really hope for, I've seen a lot of cancer in my day, and the only thing I guess you can really hope for is not to suffer too much pain. But I tell you what, I listened to about an hour. You know, I've been with my daughter today. I listened to.
What have you been listening to? So I'm always interested, and I don't mean to interrupt, but how are you, as a co-host of the show, tuned into the cesspool tonight, Ed? You listening on the computer? Or you listening on the drive out to the station?
I was listening on the drive. I was listening. On the way home from my daughter's house, and as I got to my house, and you had a lot of good fodder there, James. As you and I were talking during the break, I would just like to mention a few things. We were talking about the hate crimes legislation and a few things behind that some people may not know. You know, they call there's a nickname for Washington, D.C. A lot of people call it Sodom on the Potomac. We were just talking about that. And the reason they call it the Sodom on the Potomac is because so many of the politicians there are just perverted beyond imagination. People would never believe how perverted they are. There's one book I could encourage people to read. It's called the Franklin cover-up by John DeCamp. You know, remember with James, we've had John DeCamp on. He was senator from Nebraska.
Yes, Senator John DeCamp at that.
And he named some of the biggest people in the world as being pedophiles, homosexuals. And two of the people he named was Pappy Bush. Pappy Bush, he's been in Omaha, Nebraska, to the little kitty farms over there. And he's been photographed and had documents of him being in the little perverted homosexual and pedophile parties in Washington, D.C., along with Ollie North. You know, Ollie North, I used to really look up to that guy, but coming to find out, he's just another slime ball.
Well, and don't take our word for it. Again, this is coming from Senator John DeCamp. You don't get much more prestigious than a senator, and this is DeCamp's own research. And, of course, this is one of the many personalities we've had on the show. Read his book and make up your own mind. But, yeah, I mean, Ed, it goes without saying that obviously something as monstrous as the hate crimes bill, which is basically a bill that would protect all forms of perversion and make criminals out of right-thinking Christians like me and you, would certainly have a home there in the modern-day Gomorrah.
You know, something else I'd like to mention, and I'll proudly say this, although I guess it's kind of a contradiction. And my son here, James, can be my witness. I was baptized into the Southern Baptist, well, it's an independent Baptist church. What was it, James, over the Memorial Day weekend, I believe?
Yeah, this was something, you know, obviously we're not just family on the air, and I'm talking about the immediate Political Cesspool staff, our crew here in Memphis, and, of course, the hosting staff, me, Winston, Eddie, and Bill. But we do stuff as a family outside of the radio station, that's for sure. Birthdays, holidays, we try to get together as often as possible. And one such occasion was, as Eddie is just mentioning, back on Memorial Day, Winston Smith and I went to Eddie's baptism.
At the early old age of 62.
There you go.
And, you know, and so people cannot accuse me of being a Baptist slammer because, James, you know, I can't think of anybody who's spread more napalm on the Protestants and the Baptists in particular than myself. I've blasted them to hell, as we all have, because, and this is leading to a point, is because they seem, this is one thing I just cannot reconcile myself with my church, even though I've got to church almost every Sunday now. It's really done me a lot of good. But I cannot get over this just sick worship of the Jews. And they can't, why can't they see that, James? And I know this is Reverend Pike, so rightly noted, the ADL has been pushing this hate crimes legislation. They should name it the pro-sodomite legislation and the pro-pedophile legislation. The Jews have been pushing that harder than anybody. And why on earth the Baptist churches give them a free pass? I can't understand that. Our pastor, where I go to church, I mean, the guy, I have no doubt of his dedication and his sincerity. He believes through and through. But even he, this is where we, and James, I think your pastor's the same way. We agree on just about everything there is with our preachers. But when it comes to worship in Judaism, you cannot get them. It's like trying to get a bulldog off of a cat. Cannot do it.
Here's the disconnect that I find in all of that is that, you know, it's just that the biggest enemies of Christ and his message, the biggest enemies of anything conservative, and obviously most Southern Christians are conservative by nature politically, the biggest enemies that we have are obviously the radical, and not all Jews, but certainly the radical Zionists. And there seems to be this disproportionate amount of, I don't know, I don't want to sound sacrilegious, but Jewish worship that goes on in a lot of these churches where it is almost put on an equal level as the teachings of Jesus Christ. You have to bless
Israel.
Right. And if you don't, then you can't be a follower of Christ. And obviously, a lot of the things that the radical Zionists have done run completely afoul to the teachings of Christ and Christianity. The obviously, you know, the ADL, a holy Jewish organization, radical Zionist organization, and their backing of the hate crimes legislation, obviously something that would make criminals of Christians is not something that we ought to be supporting, and these are not people that we should be supporting. Nevertheless, Ed, as we continue to chase rabbits on this 4th of July, we can get back to this in a minute, but we only have a minute until the next commercial break. And I just want to say before we do hit that break, what a pleasure it is to have you back on the show. I know scheduling conflicts and other things that have happened over the course of the past couple of months have limited your appearances on this show, but you are every bit as much as a reason for the success of this show as anybody else that's been involved with it throughout the course of its history, and it's always an honor to share the microphone with you, and I'm really proud that you're on tonight on the 4th of July. Back in the saddle, co-host Eddie Miller.
All right. Hey, I feel the same way. I'm delighted to be back, James, and it's a pleasure to be around you anytime. As people don't know how close we are off the air, but the entire Cesspool crew, we are strictly we're closer than blood brothers. Every single one of us. I just wish the people could have been at the little dinner we had for our dear brother Winston.
Well, we'll talk more about that after the break. The Love Fest will continue behind the scenes, and we'll be back right after this. Sit tight, everybody.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood,
baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
And if you value the work of the Political Cesspool radio program, don't forget that we are a listener-supported entity, and you can make a donation online tonight. A nice holiday gift that would be by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Eddie, there's some more important things that I want to cover with the time that we have remaining tonight, but you brought up a good point there a few minutes ago, and I want to bring to your attention and to everyone listening tonight a story that I came across just this past week. It's been well known for a number of decades now, the conversation that Billy Graham had with Richard Nixon talking about the disproportionate amount of cultural influence and media control that the Jews had over our society.
Yes, sir.
A second video has now come to light, again with Billy Graham ranting about Jews pushing pornography. And you can go to our website, of course, ladies and gentlemen, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and read the links about this, where we always offer corroborating evidence to anything that we bring forth on this program. But apparently another tape has surfaced, which brings to light for the second time Billy Graham discussing with President Nixon the negative impact that he thought that Jews were having on American culture. And Billy Graham went on to say in this video that Jews themselves are to blame for anti-Semitism. Now, I say to that, Ed, that Billy Graham is a despicable human being. Not for saying those things, but for believing them while saying the exact opposite in public. In private discussions with the president, Graham was evidently constantly going on about the Jews pushing porn and obscenity, controlling the media, and if they weren't stopped, according to Graham's words, America was going to go down the tubes. But in public, Graham never criticized Jews, and in fact claimed to be their best friend among Christians, and was called, has called many times, so-called anti-Semitism a wicked sin. So, you know, again, it's people like Billy Graham, these lying, despicable, cowardly hypocrites. These are the people that somehow, some way, has come into control of a lot of the modern day churches. And Ed, you know, that's not my brand of Christianity. I say if you see something and it happens to be perpetrated by a Jew, you got to call them out on that. You don't give them a pass because they're Jewish.
I tell you what, James, you were so right. You know what? When you, as soon as you mentioned Billy Graham, I kind of figured where you were going to be going. I kind of, you know, muddied the creek over here where I go to church, and because you know, they're Baptists and they all worship Billy Graham too, almost as much as the Jews, and they do worship almost as much as they worship the Jews. And I pointed out a few things about Billy Graham. I said these people, they should read the book called The Strange Friends of Billy Graham. And, you know, Billy Graham has been in the Bohemian Grove. A lot of people would be shocked to know that. You know what goes on there. A lot of, you know, it's a homosexual love fest and all sorts of perversion that we don't really know all of what goes on. But, James, what hypocrisy. I mean, what cowardice. I mean, I couldn't think of more you know, cowardice for a minister to do what he did. And I'm really not surprised. You know, he, really, Billy Graham, he couldn't carry the dirty bathwater of an old time Southern Baptist, you know, from 60 or 70 years ago.
Well, this is what we're talking about, Ed. I mean, you know, I love the old fire breathing, God fearing Christian pastors, and I thought if we lost every one of our institutions, we could still fall back on the church. But obviously, with sellouts like Graham, and I'm not saying he's going to hell or that he's not a Christian, but to know certain truths. And to brush them under the rug, and not only brush them under the rug, but say the exact opposite in public, there's something wrong with that. And unfortunately, there's far too many cowards in control of positions of power in our movement, and Billy Graham's just another one of them. But this is just something that I believe people should know. Billy Graham knew the truth. He chose not to say it. We know the truth, and we do say it. And that's why we need your support, and the multi-billionaire Billy Graham doesn't. But I'll tell you what, speaking of support, Ed, and this was something that I really felt led to bring to the program tonight, and I mentioned this on our blog at the website. It's a fact that each week we are blessed, truly blessed, to receive literally hundreds of letters and emails from political cesspool fans around the world. And as I said on the website, sure, we get the occasional death threat here and there, but that's part of the job.
It's part of the fun, James.
It is part of the fun. I always enjoy having the FBI come out, and when I have to report these death threats, you know, they're going to blow up my house and kill my wife type of stuff. But the mailbag, I tell you, if everyone was privy to the correspondence that we receive, they would understand just what this show means to so many. And I have selected over the course of the past couple of weeks, I mean, as I said, literally over any given month, we receive upwards of 400 or 500 emails or letters. And you can't read them all, but there were a few that came up that I just want to bring to your attention. This first one comes from listener Stacy in Oklahoma, and this is what was written. Stacy writes that, "I just want to extend my thanks and congratulations on being such an uplifting and insightful radio show. I know that your show is primarily of Southern American origin, and I appreciate the earthly, authentically American quality that brings. You all have a gentlemanly tone, even when you are justifiably angry over what is happening to us as a people and as a nation. That is refreshing, and the honesty is inspiring. Yet, I also respect how you bring in types of individuals not of Southern origin. Your interviews with Dr. Tom Sunick, Dr. Kevin McDonald, Dr. Greg Johnson, and Dr. Jared Taylor prove that you have an expansive appreciation for all European peoples, and it is high time we all get together and speak with one unified voice. Even though I'm a Yankee from Chicago, otherwise known as Obamaland, I love and admire all cultures which have grown out of European civilization. I can see things changing for the better. I can see us soon becoming unafraid, once again, to be proud of who we are and what we want for ourselves, our families, our people. It is important for me to tell you that you are playing a huge role in this positive development. Remain enthused. There are more and more of us who support you every day." And, Eddie, that comes from Stacy in Oklahoma. And I am here to tell you that we receive, I don't know if we receive emails and letters of that magnitude every day, but we're always getting positive and uplifting notes. But Stacy really went the extra mile. What a very articulate and thoughtful, well-written letter.
James, I was going to say the same thing. Matter of fact, I was going to say, if I didn't know the difference, I think Winston wrote that letter and said, "Sign Stacy to it just to fill up the show." You know, Winston is, you know how articulate he is. Man, I tell you what, I wish I could write like that. You know, I would fall flat on my face if I tried to write something like that. But I'm sure that, you know, the show has influenced way beyond what we even know. But, you know, James, getting, not to kick a dead horse, but getting back to Billy Graham, I just don't understand. Well, I do. The fact that he wouldn't come out and say what he truly felt and believed, it shows the power that these Zionists have. I mean, he knows probably. Well, not probably. He knows they could shut him down.
Well, I was talking with Sam Dixon. Ed, let me say this. I was talking with Sam Dixon, a man that we obviously both have a great deal of admiration for.
Yes, we do.
I was at Sam's home in Georgia. I can't remember when. It was recently, within the last year. And I was saying, you know, Richard Nixon had to be a good guy, right? Because, you know, even though he did a lot of things that we disagree with, he had to be a good guy because he knew about the Zionist influence in on this country. I mean, from the Billy Graham tapes, right?
Yeah, even, you know what, even Truman talked about the Jews.
Well, I mean, they all know, and this is what Sam said. He said, well, I mean, you can look at it that way, or you can look at like this is a tired union worker who gets abused on the job. He comes home and he grouses over his beer, but he still goes and does the bidding of the boss at the end of the day. And I think that is truly, as succinctly as can be summed up, the what Billy Graham and Richard Nixon were. Yeah, they knew the truth. They didn't like it, but they weren't going to upset the apple cart, and they weren't going to be out a dime of power, influence, or money either. So they shut up, did the bidding of the master, and we paid the price while they lived obviously very influential and very rich lives. We got to go to break. We'll be back with more in the Political Cesspool, James Edwards and Eddie Miller, right after this. Check us out at thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. As Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I sit in this studio tonight, we are now beginning to hear the sounds of fireworks bursting outside at different homes around the community, and certainly Eddie and I will be rushing home to be with our families after we go off the air here and hopefully join in a little celebration ourselves. But before we do, we wanted to be sure to punch the clock, give you a live three-hour show, because we don't take a night off. We don't take off on holidays, become rain, sleet, or show to bring you the truth on the political cesspool. It would have been much easier for us to play a tape tonight and with respect to the holiday, but you have shown us so much support. You deserve us to be here every night fighting for you, and by God, that's what we're going to do. And going back to the mailbag, Ed, for just a moment, we again received so many emails. I want to quickly share a couple with you, including one very profound and thorough email that I'm going to read at the conclusion of this segment. But I want to go to Josh in Provo, Utah. He writes, "I hope things are going well for you and yours. Things are rolling along here in Utah. Just wanted to drop you a line and tell you that I have really enjoyed your last several blog posts. They have been better than they usually are. I forward a couple to my email list. Have a good one, man, and keep up the good work." And that comes from Liberty News Radio country, Provo, Utah, and that's Josh. Pete from Virginia writes that Saturday's show, that was last Saturday, June 27th, has got to be one of the best shows ever. You and Bill had guest after guest after guest. Then the fans you had on at random were all well-spoken and educated. It was obvious that you and Bill had no script and were winging it, but it worked. And my question is, where were you and Winston, Eddie?
Where were we? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll have to plead guilty on that. Should have been there. I was a little bit off balance, I don't think I'll ever miss another one, though.
Well, that's okay. We'll give you the pass on this one. Bill and I were able to handle it. Of course, you were there at the last Council of Conservative Citizens meeting, and we had a great time there in Florence, Alabama. Last week we were in Jackson. But I think broadcasting the cesspool remotely from location is going to be an annual tradition henceforth. And I've got a little good news, Ed, from the local front. Alderman Clint Lacey from the city of Marble Hill, Missouri, sent me an email recently as we're going through the mailbag here, and he asked me to post it to our blog. I'll just tell you. You remember the Missouri State Trooper report about people with Ron Paul and pro-life bumper stickers being potential terrorists?
Well. Yes, I do.
And then the Department of Homeland Security report that said the same thing. Well, in this Missouri town, they're fighting back, and I'm talking about Marble Hill, Missouri. They've passed a resolution specifically declaring that these kinds of bumper stickers and affiliations are not grounds for pulling someone over or regarding them as a public menace. And you can go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, check the blog. You can read the actual resolution itself. All I can say is way to go, Marble Hill, and way to go, Clint Lacey. Clint Lacey is a fine Southern man. He is a supporter of this radio program. He is an elected official, and he has done a good thing as a result of the power that his seat has given him. I know it's just a small town. We're talking about a town that probably most of us have never heard of before, Marble Hill, Missouri. But they have done something good, and it shows the power that one man can have. And Clint has done a good job in getting this resolution passed and passed into law there in that city. And if we had more people with his sorts of gut standing up for what's right in every city, this nation might begin to look like the kind of nation that our folks fought for back in 1776 and 1861, respectively.
Amen. Anyway. You know, James, we're really lucky and humbled to have people like Mr. Lacey as, you know, supporters of the radio station. We need to count our blessings and take a bow to those people. We really do, because it's humbling to see and hear things like that. Really is. Just so happens, James can attest that I have some of those bumper stickers on my truck and on my car.
Yes, you do. Ron Paul for president. 9/11 was an inside job. You got them all, Ed.
Yes, I do. And one, abolish the Federal Reserve. And I've driven all over the place, and I have in-laws in Mississippi that tells me I shouldn't be doing that. And I said, they should be, you know, they ask me, why am I doing that? And I say, well, why aren't you not? Why aren't y'all doing it? But you're absolutely right. Just before we leave that, these cowardice preachers, James, what I've been trying to do, just, I guess, to be a little active, I've been trying to educate mainly the younger people in the church where I go, and to talk to them about what Zionism really is. I try to get them to the side, and I've given them certain websites they can go into, and certain topics they can type into any search engine, and they can really teach them a lot about what the Zionists really are. How they're probably, matter of fact, James, I think you're the one that told me. I don't know who it was that told you, but they said that if God wanted to design an enemy who was the greatest enemy he could think of against to attack Christians, it could be do no better than a Jew. Was that Sam Dixon?
Well, that was Willis Carto. That's a paraphrase. And to be more specific, it would be, and it's not all Jews. It's certainly the radical Zionist, though. And what a Zionist is basically is a Jewish supremacist by the truest sense, because this is someone who wants to oppress freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of association, and obviously is very anti-Christian, anti-American in nature. And it's unfortunate that they behave in this manner, that they advocate such policies that would restrict our God-given liberties in this country as a Christian nation. But unfortunately, they do. And if it was members of whatever ethnicity, I think we should have the ability and the freedom to say, listen, these are the people that are doing it. These are the folks that we need to be engaging in the court of public opinion. And it just so happens that when it comes to a lot of the laws that prohibit freedom of speech and freedom of association, the common denominator is that they are Zionists, that they are Jewish. And that's a shame, and I wish that wasn't the case. But if it is, I've got to say that it is, and I believe
right.
that it is. And in fact, Ed, that brings me to another letter that I want to read here. This might take me a moment to read, but this is comes from a listener who apparently has just begun to hear of our program, and he touches on some of these things that you're talking about, so perhaps this would back you up. This comes from a listener, Dennis, in Central Florida. And again, it's going to take me a moment to read this, but it is very profound and very thorough, very detailed. And it just once again goes to show the sort of caliber of our audience, the kind of people who tune in and take the time to write are not your normal everyday radio audience. These are obviously very well-read, very educated people. That's the audience of the Political Cesspool. But Ed, I want you to listen to this and then comment on it. This comes in from listener Dennis in Florida. He writes, "Dear James, I'm a professional white male, 55 years old, politically conservative, used to be Republican and pro-Reaganite. I am becoming overcome with frustration and fear of what is taking place in our country at every level, from the anti-Christian, anti-American, pro-socialist media and both political parties all the way up to the president. I fear that we as Americans have entered rapidly into the declining years of our great nation, a nation born under God and based on the principles of freedom, property ownership, uninhibited trade, commerce, and capitalism. I believe now we are entering our Roman period of decadence and decay and may be invaded by the barbarians. With our present government, we are losing what made our country great. We no longer control our own economy. Since 1914, and this is something that you always talk about, Ed, which is why I wanted to read this while you were on the air. Since 1914, with the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank and the IRS, under liberal socialist Woodrow Wilson. We are pawns, Dennis writes, of national and international financial community that is not American controlled. Our present government is giving away our personal freedoms, property rights, killing us with taxation in their quest to become a socialist totalitarian government. Even if we wake up now, I fear it may be too late. I own a business. I am struggling beyond imagination. My payroll taxes increase. My debt is increasing as I make more money. I am unable to get business loans because I make too much money. This is insanity. I feel I'm being punished for being white, successful, and professional. Everything is upside down. People who don't work make money. People who do work are punished with ever-increasing taxation and regulation. Illegal aliens are given medical, housing, and food relief. I can barely afford my insurance and have been hammered by taking risk and investing these years in the stock market and the real estate market. The Jewish-controlled media portrays Christian whites as narrow-minded, dim-witted hypocrites, yet portrays blacks as noble creatures full of wisdom and purity. After years of education, medical school, and graduate school, I am not some illiterate white fool. I'm rambling now. I'm deeply concerned. I want to do something to fight for America while we still exist. I have visited your website, he writes, and wish to take part and listen to your show, but live in Central Florida, and it is not yet on an AM station in my area. I will continue to listen on the Internet. I want to learn more about your organization. Eddie, that comes from Dennis in Florida. And Dennis, I say to you that we stand with you, sir. This is the show that stands up, the only show that stands up with that retreat, surrender, or apology for our people. And we'll be back with more right after this.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, we're having a fun show tonight. It's the 4th of July, and we've covered a lot of important ground, certainly with Jamie Kelso and Reverend Ted Pike in the second hour, where we talked about the Tea Party movement and the hate crimes legislation, respectively, the pending hate crimes legislation. Had a good time with Keith Alexander in the first hour, and tonight we're with co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we're just sitting back and talking to you, speaking from the heart, and sharing with you now some very heartfelt emails that we are blessed to receive on a daily basis. Ed, I think Dennis really covered it all. I ran out of time there before that last commercial break.
Yes, he did.
He really summed up everything that this show is here to fight against.
You know, James, I don't, you know, it's obvious he's a lot smarter person than I am. He's probably a medical doctor. But I think the reason that he got his loan didn't have anything to do with how much money that he didn't get his loan. I don't think it had any reason how much money he made. Had anything to do with that. I believe it's probably because he's the wrong color. I mean, we've even heard Obama say that the stimulus package, doesn't apply to whites. White males need not apply.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what so-called affirmative action, quotas, and set-asides are all about. It's about preferential treatment, not equal opportunity. And obviously, we stand against that.
And also, James, he hit it right on the money with the international bankers. He mentioned the Federal Reserve. I heard one fellow say that we have a privately owned government here, owned by the major transnational corporations and the banks. And I hate to keep slamming the Jewish supremacists, but it's right. I mean, if you look at all the major banks in the world, I mean, the vast majority of them are run by Zionist Jews, and they're out to destroy us. They hate Christians. They hate Christianity. They have. By the way, it sounds like the Battle of Kaysan outside. I hope these explosions.
Did you fight in that one, Eddie? Obviously, you're a veteran.
Well, I tell you what, makes me think I was back there, buddy. The way it sounds like, wish we had some of that stuff when I was in the Army.
You were a medic. I don't want to digress here and get you off your train of thought here, but it is the 4th of July, and we need to pay respects to the veteran that's on the air tonight, and it's not me. You were a combat medic. Is that right, Ed?
Yes, I certainly was. I took my training down at good old Count Bullis and Fort Sam Houston in Texas. I didn't want to be a medic because most of the medics were conscientious objectors, and you know, I was so ignorant in those days. I didn't want to be a conscientious objector. As a matter of fact, I've tried every way in the world to get out of being a medic. I hated it at the time. To this day, I can't stand maroon because that was our little color of our scarf. You know, infantry blue. They had their little infantry blue scarf. I wanted to go infantry, but they made a medic out of me. If you wanted to be a medic, they would have probably stuck me in the infantry. You know, but
oh, yeah.
That's the way the Army is. But you're absolutely right. Getting back to this fella, he's right. Our government has been turned completely over to the international bankers, James. He hit on a lot of vital points. And like you said, just to allude to, the end of our first War of Independence, what do you think our forefathers would do if they could look now and see, you know, when they signed the Declaration, there wasn't one person that was non-white. They were almost all of, Anglo-Saxon. They were all 100% Anglo-Saxon descent. And the vast majority of them were Christians. There wasn't one Mexican. There wasn't one Chinaman. There wasn't one Jew. There wasn't one Hindu. Well, one Muslim.
This nation, Ed, is a nation of blood and soil, just like any other nation. The liberal argument is that this is a propositional nation, and no nation is. Japan is a Japanese nation. China is a Chinese nation. Africa, I guess, is a black continent. and this is a place for Western civilization and Europeans. But I asked Pat Buchanan, whom I worked for in 2000 as a volunteer and who's been on this show a couple of times. It was asked of Pat back in the campaign of 2000, his third and final run for president, you know, what would the founding fathers say if they were alive today? And he responded with a three-word one-liner, lock and load. This resembles nothing like the nation that they fought and bled to create it. I mean, I think that if they were alive today, certainly they would probably fight to reinstate the sort of America that this was meant to be. And if they're looking down on us from above tonight, I'm probably pretty sure that they're upset that their progeny,
you know what, James,
let it all slip away without a shell being fired.
For one thing, they would probably have to say lock and load from prison because they'd probably be in prison for being insurgents.
No, you're exactly right. If George Washington was alive today, he'd be thrown in jail as a domestic terrorist. Jesus Christ was alive today, he would be labeled an anti-Semite and a bigot.
Yes, he would.
And he would be labeled that by his own church, I might add.
And you're absolutely right. And to kick the churches one more time, in which I'm a part of a church.
And this is a Christian program, but listen, we can be upset about what's going on in the churches and still be Christian. I mean, this whole thing where you have to march in lockstep lest you be a prodigal son, I don't go for that. I want to hold my organizations accountable. I can be a member and a professing member of any organization or faith or whatever and still have a little reservations about the way that it's going in general.
If people want to come to a program with a bunch of, just a bunch of robots that march in lockstep with the Republican Party or with any church, they've come to the wrong place because James and I are as big a Christians. We're as hardcore Christians as anybody. But like James said, we're not going to just go along to get along. We're going to speak our mind, and we're going to try to educate our brethren to get in the right direction. I tried to my own minister, God bless him, he pointed out to the fact last Sunday that the biggest reason for the tremendous decline in the United States in every field, in morality, in the deindustrialization of the United States, the massive increase of immigration, is because the churches have just retreated from the battlefield. They've become timid. They won't speak up against anything, and it's just sickening. I pointed out to our minister about the Black Brigade. You've heard us. We've talked about that before.
Well, Dr. Chuck Baldwin, the Constitution Party presidential nominee in 2000, what year is this? 2008, last year. Yeah. He wants to, or had worked in the past to reinstall a modern-day Black Brigade. These were the preachers who went out and fought and bled and died for our country.
They were killed and were killed. They certainly did. They fixed the bayonets just like the common infantry soldiers. They certainly
and
did.
That's exactly what we need, and that's what we're fighting for. And I'm not saying go out. Obviously, this show doesn't promote or advocate violence in any way, but we need, I think, the spirit of those fighting men. And we will continue to engage folks in the court of public opinion. We will continue to work through the system until the system crumbles. And then we will do what has to be done, I guess, to protect our families. But the bottom line is that this show, the message of this show is a message, I think, of love. Love for our family, love for our faith, love for our God, love for our country. And we fight to defend these things.
If you don't love yourself,
some of the things we might say are construed to be politically incorrect. I love my family, and I'm going to fight for my family. Now, if that causes the ADL to sully my reputation, then so be it, because I am here for a cause greater than myself. We do this show as volunteers for free at our own expense, both mentally, spiritually, physically. We have paid the price, and the price we pay pales in comparison to the price that those Founding Fathers paid in 1776 when they signed that Declaration of Independence on July 4th. But by God, we are trying our best to do what we can with the hand we've been dealt. And Eddie Miller and I do it. Winston Smith and Bill Rowland do it. And we do it on this show. And we are one of the few organizations that produces results. Ed, I am fired up now. I don't know if you can tell. And this is completely unscripted and unrehearsed, as all of our shows are. But you know,
well,
I tell
right,
you,
James, and you know, Christ himself, you know, the Bible says, and I'm no big Bible thumper, but it says itself that if a man will not work and earn a living and to protect his family, he's no better than the heathen. And you know, love, if you don't love yourself, James, and you don't love your own family, then you're no better than a dog or a sewer rat. And you know, that's where love starts. You know, every race in should love, you know, love themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, we have more respect for a black radical panther than we do these sellouts, self-hating white people.
Absolutely.
You have to. You know, we don't hate other races. We just like to have the right. We like to be allowed to protect our own heritage, you know, to preserve our culture,
well,
to love our people.
We want for ourselves what is encouraged for everyone else, and that's the bottom line of it. But, Eddie, we have less than 30 seconds. I don't know how this hour has gone by so quickly.
Too fast.
But I want to tell you that I love you. We got to have you back
on. I love
on
you too, James.
Every week, if not, well, we only can do it every week because we're only a weekly show. But listen.
I love all our brothers.
Happy 4th of July, everyone. Happy Independence Day. If you find yourself in agreement with the sentiments of so many of those in our listening audience, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, sign up for the email list, make a donation. We value the working relationship that we have with everyone tuned in tonight, and we will see you next week. For Eddie Miller, I'm James Edwards. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.